Are y'all blessed today? Yeah. I saw some people over there just having their own little time with God. Mm-hmm. Well, would you pray with me? Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you. We honor you. And now we come to this time where we are asking you to have your way. Have your way through the word. Have your way in this atmosphere. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill it up that we may recognize the presence of God that is already here, that is already in each of us. We claim this today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, while Brother Keith is getting that, I want you to think for a moment. How many of you have had some conflict this week? Conflict. Oh, we don't know how to spell conflict. Okay. Conflict. C-O-N-F-L-I-C. What else? T. Okay. How many of you have had some conflict this week? Come on. Yeah. We all have had it. How many of you got a no this week? Somebody said no to you this week. Yeah. All right. Well, today's sermon title is Looking for the Yes in Every No. And today's gospel lesson is all about conflict, y'all. It's about the no that was at the door. But it turned into a yes. And we're grateful for that. You heard Matt share with you in Spanish the reading today, the gospel reading. I'm going to read it to you in English. Hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to be reading from the gospel of Mark, 7th chapter, beginning at verse 24 through 30. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Wow. Beginning with this Syrophoenician woman's title. I mean, this is a designation that was given to this woman only in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And it suggests that this woman that we just read is half Phoenician, that is Lebanese, and half Syrian. She is an outsider. The gospel writers simply call her Syrophoenician woman. But I want to dignify her today with a name. Y'all help me with that. How many of y'all know a woman in your family? Oh, wait, let me just start with the women here. How many women in here have turned a no into a yes in your life? Come on. Yeah. Many of you have turned the no into a yes in your on your jobs, with your families, in your communities. You've stepped into some, look at the men looking like, let me see. Well, men, how many of you have a woman in your family, a sister, a mother, aunt, or someone that has turned a no into a yes by the way she has lived, her responses to difficulty, and etc. How many of y'all men can raise your hand? Amen. So this story is for all of us today. And I don't like to just say a Syrophoenician woman. I want to give her a name. So I'm going to put my name in there. And for y'all that are here, I want you to put your name or the woman that you love that has stood into those places. I want to do that because I think it's important that we give her some dignity today. And for so long, when I've read this story, I've cringed because it isn't the best reading that I've read where Jesus identifies someone with a slur. But we understand the reason why. We know during this era how people were identified. But even so, I've struggled with this. So I'm going to identify her as Gloria. And you can put your own name in it. So this is the way the story is reading, that Jesus was tired. Jesus was worn out. There's no doubt he was overworked. He was healing people all over. And as we read verse 24, it says that he went to a land where he did not want anyone to know that he was there. He was trying to hide out. Y'all know how that is. Sometimes you have done so much, and your phone is ringing, people knocking at the door, you're seeing people in the store, you're trying to just slide away. But they, hi, how are you? Well, Jesus, he had to go to another town. He slipped away because his ministry was blowing up. He was known as the man that could heal. So we know that this is the story. So he went to this other region, but there was this woman that came up to him named Gloria. This woman came up to Jesus, and what did she do? She kneeled at his feet. She began to tell him of her need. But you know, there's always some chatter, right? The disciples were around. They were saying little words. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you will hear and you will read in there where the disciples were telling Jesus, oh, let her be. Don't respond to her. Don't answer her questions. And she wasn't even talking to them. But y'all know how that is when you're in a situation, there's always some extra volume on the side that you can't shut down. But anyway, so she kneels at his feet and she tells him of her request. Jesus comes and he does not appreciate her. He does not respond favorably. He sends harsh words to Gloria. But Gloria does not move. Eventually, there is healing. Healing for her daughter. But it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost for this woman. But this woman was bold, she was blunt, and she made sure that her request was known. As a matter of fact, she was looking for that yes in the no. She didn't even ask specifically to tell Jesus to do A, B, C, or D. She just told him what the need was. When I look at her and I look at my own life, I'm reminded of how many times I could have learned some lessons from this woman. But Jesus completely ignores her in the beginning. But she overcomes the biggest obstacle when he responds about who she is. So what I want to do today, I want to this gospel lesson and give you three nuggets that I hope you can leave with today that will help you when you step into those places and the no is right here on the person's forehead, and you haven't even said anything. Or the no is there, and you haven't even applied for the job. Or the no is there when your spouse doesn't even want to work things out. People of God, this is a story for all of us today. Because as people of faith, we are to look for the yes in every no. So I begin with this season of Lent to remind us, how many of you have already had some bumps in the road during this season? Yeah, it hasn't been the easiest season. So this story is specific for us to look at this woman through the lens of humility, perseverance, and also look at how she had faith in Jesus. Today, I want you to go with me as we look at how marks of the Christian life can be identified through the life of this woman. So I want to give you the first nugget. The first nugget that I want you to remember when you're in the midst of the difficulty, or you know you need a breakthrough, or you know that that no does not identify with you because God has already told you that it was a yes. I want you to remember this woman's persistence. So the first word is persistence. Persistence. We must be persistent and willing to cling to God's promises in difficulty. We must be persistent and willing to cling to God's promises in difficulty. You see, people of God, this woman shows that. I could imagine her being there and she wouldn't get up. She would not get up off of her knees, bowing before him. I remember 20 some years ago, my mother was first diagnosed with breast cancer. My sister and I were in the office when we got the news, and I'm going to tell you, we said, oh, no, no. See, the doctor had given her 6 months to live. The doctor said, we've done the surgery, but there were so many positive lymph nodes, and cancer was all throughout her body. The doctor said, we want you to prepare because she only has 6 months to live. I remember this like it was yesterday, but I want to ask all of you a question. What does persistence look like for you today? Do you have a picture of what persistence looks like? I want you to hold that. I want you to hold that in your heart, in your mind, as you hear this part of my story. You see, we cried, but we went to work looking for scriptures, every scripture on living. We plastered our house with every scripture there was. When my mother looked up, there was Psalm 119. When she laid her head down, there was Judges. And it was said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Oh, yes. That was the way that we moved forward with the no from our doctor. And I'm here to tell you that for 9 years, my mother lived. Not 6 months. But 9 years with breast cancer. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes. 9 full years. And her life was a declaration of the works of the Lord throughout her life. Today, I stand before you and say that when you receive a no, you've got to have some persistence. The story of the woman that we just mentioned, she had it. She shows us what persistence and faith is all about. How many of you today have turned your back when somebody closed the door on you? How many of you today have ever experienced something that was so hard you didn't have enough strength to keep going forward? Well, look at this story. Go back. Write this story down. Put your name in there because this is for you today. You see, this woman refused to leave until there was something for her. Her persistence pushed and opened the door for us. See, many times when we're at a dark place or a place where difficulty has made its residence in our home, we have to witness to those that are watching us. We have to be that witness that says, oh, I'm struggling, but I'm here. It's difficult, but I'm not dead. I've been diagnosed with cancer, but I'm not in fear. This woman in this story shows us exactly what it means to be despised, to be mistreated. And let's be real. She had everything going against her. She was not the right gender, the right ethnicity, and the cultures there were not for her to go before anyone and ask. But she was persistent. How many of you have accepted the no today and just said, okay, it wasn't for me? Take this story with you. The second nugget for you today in looking for the yes and the no is for us to know what this woman did. She walked with peace. She remained peaceful even through the storm. I like to say that because I know if someone had used a term that was derogatory, I may have responded. But this woman didn't do that. And I want to go there a little bit because many of you know that I am truly a Duke fan. Okay. I've already tried this earlier and I got beat down by some people. But it's in my sermon, so you're going to have to deal with it. Okay? So this is for those of you that are looking at this second nugget. It's about peace. You know, Carolina put a lot of pressure on Duke last night. Isn't that right, y'all? Come on, let's keep it light. Carolina put a lot of pressure on Duke last night, even throughout the whole first half. And at the second half, I think we were down by, 10, 11? Okay, somewhere along there. But I went home last night, and I watched the game, and then I flipped on the news to hear the interview with Coach K. How many of y'all heard the interview with Coach K? Okay, well, let me tell you exactly what he said, because it's a part of this sermon right here, brothers and sisters. This is what Coach K said. Coach K said a word about peace, P-E-A-C-E, came over Coach. He said, I told them during the half to get comfortable. If you see a play, take it. I'm not going to call any plays in this half. And then he said, I told them, take the piano off your back. Quit playing with all the pressures of the world. Put a smile on your face. Just play. Get comfortable in the game. Did that, y'all. Duke players took the piano off their back, the pressure of this being the biggest game, and they won. I'm whispering, you know why, right? Because I've got shut down already by two people in here, and I'm trying to proclaim the word. So they won. They won 74-64. And what that says to me in using this example and the Syrophoenician woman is that she had to have a lot of peace because the pressures were upon her. Come on, mamas. Where are the mamas in the room? When your baby's sick, you got pressure. Isn't that right? You want to get the best medicine, the best doctor to take care of you. This woman had pressure, but she was calm. She had peace. Just like those Blue Devils when the second half came. And not only did she show that she had peace, she walked it out. I'm reminded of that for me as a woman of faith and for each of you, because there are times when stuff is so difficult. The best thing we want to do is to let somebody else know that we're really struggling. Oh, I'm going through so much. But you need to put on your game face and be ready to walk in the peace and believe that God has you. The scripture that comes to mind is the Gospel of Matthew, 11th chapter, verse 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm reminded of that because when we're in the midst of trying to win and the no is already there, we get weary, we get worn down. But this woman did not. Yes, she was vulnerable because she played everything to go into the land, but baby. And like mamas, we don't go back. But I'm reminded that for all of us today, we are to walk in the peace, even in difficulty. Even when the pressure is on. Okay, I'm through with the game. The third nugget for those of you, for all of us today, in this story that we can hold on to when looking at a no right there and make sure that it's a yes, is we must have a humble presence. A humble presence, even in difficulty. This woman was willing to humble herself, to bow before God, and to petition Jesus. I don't really know, and I've tried to research, but I don't really know where she learned the power that Jesus had. No, his ministry was booming and everything was going well. It doesn't say in the text that this woman knew him outside of identifying him as Messiah, as Sir, as the Son of David. And when I look at that, it reminds me of how do I know Jesus? How many of y'all really know Jesus today for yourself? I'm asking that question because it took me a long time. I remember my grandmother telling me about Jesus, but it wasn't until I got to know Jesus for myself. So when I say call on the name of Jesus, I'm speaking of my own personal experience. You see, many times we speak of Jesus in a larger context of all the experiences of the world, but it's that personal piece there. As a matter of fact, John Maxwell, many of you know, he's got these five levels of leadership. And he says very clearly that level one is when people follow you because of your position, your title. It's just the way they do it. And it has nothing to do with respect. It has nothing to do with all the other pieces, but it's just out of the position. Well, this woman identified Jesus as Sir, Lord, Son of David. So it wasn't just a position. I believe she believed in her heart that there was something there that Jesus had for her. And so as John Maxwell says, to really move to the highest level of leadership, you go to level five, which is out of respect. When people follow you, they follow you because you have been proving what it means to be who you are, and they're following you because of what you represent. I believe this woman, when she called Jesus, Sir, she was coming from a place of not just need, but belief and faith. So her presence in the story is important for us. Her presence of being humble, her presence of walking in humility and acknowledging this was one that was greater. Last night, I had the pleasure of sitting with some of my family and friends here at Citywell with the church Beyond the Walls. And we played Scrabble. Yeah. Some people in here thought they had the game, but words count. Look at some people laughing. But for those of you that are looking for things to do or want to get active in a ministry, where's Mary Rachel? Is she here today? I don't see her. Keith and others are here. That's a ministry that is very active in this church and in the community. And we all gathered here last night and we played Scrabble and we looked up titles and names. And I thought of this woman. I thought of this woman again and how she didn't even have a name in this story, but she identified Jesus as Sir, as Lord. Words do matter. There are times when we may not make the right moves or say the right thing. We can't take it back. We only can go forward. So as you're in a difficult place, or maybe there's a no that's waiting on you when you go to work, maybe there's a no in your home, maybe there's a no in your community because you've got a plan to do something great, but your neighbors are not in agreement. Whatever your no is today, wherever you've gotten a no, my hope is that you will truly look at this story and search for the significance of being persistent, having the peace, even when you don't want to be peaceful because you want a yes. And last but not least, walking in humility, walking in that way of life that Jesus has told us. You see, I go back to this scripture today because it reminds me of how we are to live. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 4 through 11. I want to read this because this is a verse, these are verses that are for us to have the same mind of Christ. But I admit it's hard when you're going through difficulty. This is the word of God. It says, we are to have this same mind, the same mind being you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I bring that to you today because wherever you are, whatever you're going through, if you are to have the same mind as Christ, when difficulty comes, that means walking with humility, walking in a humble spirit through all the difficult things that come your way. This Lenten season is for each of us, especially those that have gotten to know the words persistent, peace, presence. You see, we are the people that are not to shrink. I go back to Hebrews 10, verse 39, where we are people that are not to shrink back and are destroyed. We are not, because we know the covenant that we've made with our God, and we're to walk in. I want to encourage you today, as you move forward, as you think of where those no's are, and when you think of this woman, and you think of her not even having a name, put your name there. Put your beloved aunt, daughter, mother, sister. Have the confidence today in Jesus Christ to keep you. You see, the central point of this story about the Syrophoenician woman is that we, especially during this season of Lent, we are to imitate her and Jesus, to walk in humility as Jesus walked in it, to look at her story, to look at Jesus' life. I know it's not easy, but I believe that the more we consciously think of it and live it out, it becomes a way of life. But the other part that I'm reminded of is a song that we're about to sing. And that's a song that touches my heart. It's called Holy Spirit. And this song serves to bring an awareness of the Holy Spirit that is already in us, the Holy Spirit that is here. So as you're listening today, as you're hearing the words of this song, immediately following this, we're going to have prayer stations for you. We're going to have prayer stations for you to think of where you are with the know that you have received and what you are to do in response to that know. You are to look at God. You are to look at Jesus, the life of Jesus, and take into account all of the stuff that you've been carrying through that no. I'm grateful today because we all stand on firm ground. We all, whether you came into this service with stuff from work, in your marriage, in your church, with your health, with relationships, whatever, this ground is firm. Healing is here. I'm reminded today that the Spirit is already in us and at work. Will you receive? Let us pray. Father God, we admit that we don't always walk forward. We don't always receive what we're supposed to receive in imitating and being of you. Today, God, as we have heard your word, and as we have received a no in some aspect of our life, give us that boldness, give us that bluntness, like that woman that we identify with today. And God, I pray that we'll have faith as that of a mustard seed in you to turn it around, faith in your word to respond to our situation. I pray today, God, that we will open ourselves up to not only leave at your feet the cares and the concerns that we've been dealing with, but we will walk in the assurance and confidence that you got us. You got all of us here today. You see, we stand on your promises that are all yes and amen. I pray today that every heart will be moving forward beyond the conflict that may be in their homes, on their jobs, and even the conflict that's within them today. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. Amen.